Hey, thanks for joining us on the Pinball Podcast. My name is Don, and I'm joined by Jeff out in Utah. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing pretty good. I'm recovering from an ankle surgery, so I haven't been able to play any pinball because I can't stand. But other than that, no real complaints in life.
Yeah, the show's a little bit later, but with good reason. Jeff was doing a death save on a Doctor Who and cracked his ankle in half, so...
I wish that was it. It's not as in fact, I don't even have an exciting story for it. It's just a culmination of too many sprains and breaks over the years, and they had to go in and basically fix everything. But I wish it could have been something cool like that, that I could tell. But
well, maybe one of the listeners will send you one of those mirrors that you put over the playfield for people in wheelchairs, you know?
Yeah,
pick
something.
Your favorite game and play a little bit.
Definitely feeling a little bit of pinball withdrawal, and I was actually at a toy store on Friday with my wife and kid, and going on in my crutches, and I saw a row of pinball machines, and I couldn't play because I'm only supposed to be up for about 10-15 minutes at a time, and so we were kind of hurrying through, and made me sad not to drop a few quarters down. But
so you have a toy store that's got pinball machines in it, or is it the mall or something?
When we were coming out of the toy store, there was another store that had some up front nearby. So
it's something you don't see down in Albuquerque.
It's not too common here either, but every once in a while, and that's kind of what made me sad about it. It's like, oh, I didn't know they had machines there. I couldn't even go check them out, so.
You have to go back.
I'll be back.
But. So your pinball life has been a little stunted lately. I've been doing a lot of repairs, and I started working on a review project for Pinball FX 2. I'm trying to go through and review each table. But there's nothing really out there telling you which tables are better than others.
True.
So it's kind of time-consuming, but it's been fun.
Yeah, and I haven't played the Pinball FX as much as I wanted to. I've dabbled in them a little bit. I thought that Marvel pack was pretty good, the one that we talked about last month. They did a great job with that, and... the whole platform is really nice for those that aren't familiar with it. It's a nice platform for releasing those digital tables.
Yep. With real life games, I checked out a Monster Bash for sale in town with a pretty beat up cabinet, but the play field's okay. Yeah, I was with a friend of mine who's looking to buy it. I'm not sure if he's going to buy it or not, but it was fun to, you know, play one. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I know of in town. So.
Oh. And if the price is right on that game, it's pretty hard to pass it up, even if it is going to be a bit of a project. Because, man, when that game's cleaned up, it is such a pretty game.
Yeah, he's a little retail-y for the price.
Oh, that'll happen with that game quite often, I've found.
Yeah, so we haven't tried negotiating with them, but seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, sometimes they'll come back. And
yeah. And then... I've ended up replacing two power driver boards lately. The user Pinbutch lives down in Las Cruces, about 3 hours from here, and he ended up buying a pinball table that I was keeping here for a friend. So we got to talking about boards and going through my games and all those miscellaneous problems that we've been talking about the last couple episodes we were able to rectify. So it was really cool to meet him, and he seemed to really know what he was talking about, so... That was a lot of fun, and I've got boards out there getting repaired right now, and I swapped boards in a Creature and Adam's Family and pulled them out of my Judge Dredd and Roadshow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of board swapping around here lately. But it's great having the games up and going, finally.
Oh, yeah. And the nice thing about when you find out it is a board that has an issue, when you get those things fixed, it's so long that you need... the time after that you need to deal with them again once you finally get those issues wrapped up and taken care of.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, especially in home use. It's not on all the day and every day, so hopefully they won't come back.
Yeah, I hope not. As for me, I guess as far as working deals go, I don't have a whole lot. I have a few people that have tried to wrestle some machines away from me, but I got an email just kind of out of the blue from a guy who lives a few miles from here, and he's mentioned that he's got a line on an Indiana Jones, that he doesn't have the space to keep it. He just bought a big bulk sale of like 40 games last month, so he's not even ready to take one additional one on, and he's going to get the details and get back to me. But I've owned an Indiana Jones before. It's a really nice looking machine, and I wouldn't mind having one around for a little bit longer to shop it out and see if it sticks around a little bit longer this time. But
yeah, that game's on my short list. I think when I met you, you were trading one or selling one. I remember seeing it in the back of your car.
Yep, that was when I was selling it. So
yeah, cool game, very cool game.
And if, you know, who knows, if the price is right, maybe I can nab it, and if it works out, I can send it your way at some point. So
yeah, that'd be sweet. But
so that's it. That's all that's been going on with me.
Cool. We had a little listener feedback. We actually had quite a bit of listener feedback, so I wanted to mention a few folks. James Stark wrote in and mentioned his Australian Pinball Association, which is AustralianPinballAssociation.com. And they're just starting to put together a league. Right now he's only got rules and whatnot up, but they'll be getting more involved, and it sounds like he's... You know, those Australians are crazy about pinball. They pay, you know, 2 and 3 times what we do for a new in-box game. So hopefully he'll get a good community going down there. Robert Boyd wrote in. He mentioned that he wanted to hear more about strategies and design and buying tips. And I think that's a great idea. We both did. It'd be nice to get some strategies together, maybe go over that as part of a section of the show. And buying tips. You and I have both purchased games as collectors and, you know, in order to flip them and help other folks out. So,
yeah,
that's definitely something we'll work on, putting together a little buying segment.
Definitely.
Sorry, am I cutting you off?
No. I was saying, yeah, I think it's a great suggestion. And anything that comes in, we definitely take it to heart because, you know, I mean, we want the show to be as interactive as possible. So, all these ideas come in, they're great, and we'll get them incorporated in there.
Yeah, we'll get them going. I also wanted to mention Soren. He wrote in asking us to review Pinball Fantasies for iOS, and I downloaded it last night. I looked on my iPhone or my iPod Touch, and I probably got 30 or 40 pinball games on there, and I've deleted countless games before that. So I'd like to spend a little more time with it and put together maybe some of the better iOS games to check out. The Pinball Fantasies game isn't as realistic as, you know, a Zen Pinball or Pinball 3D or whatever. But there's kind of like the two different camps, the realistic ones and kind of the fantasy games. So I'll try to put together a list and we'll get that reviewed on an upcoming show.
Yeah, that'd be great to get some of those. That platform... mobile with, you know, iOS and Android is just blowing up with pinball tables. There's so many in both of the stores, and there is some overlap, but yeah, it's great. I mean, you can hop on, and there's some really, really highly polished ones that, you know, have real high resolution and great physics, and then there's some really simple ones that may not look as well, but there's something just kind of neat or unique about them, and it's hard, it's easy to pass those ones up if you don't know about it, so we'll try and get the word out about those games as much as we can.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of the more recent big ones has been AC/DC Pinball on iOS, and then, sure enough, Stern announced this week that they are releasing a real-life AC/DC pinball machine.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the rumor's been pretty hot for a while, but this was a pretty quick process. It's kind of what we were talking about earlier, from official announcement to, hey, you can get the game now.
Yeah, buy one today.
That was pretty quick how they did that. That didn't quite have the same amount of time to build hype, but I think the rumor mill did a good job of getting people interested beforehand.
I like that they kind of dumped a lot on us at once, and it made me more hungry for details.
Yeah.
It's like every time I turned around, there was something new, so it got me in there exploring and trying to find out even more about it.
Well, let's talk about the machine a little bit. First of all, kind of looking at the layouts, and I guess we can discuss the differences between the models, but kind of as a whole, what do you think about it? Just based on, I mean, obviously we haven't had a chance to play it, but...
Overall, I'm not really a fan of the band, but I'm a fan of Steve Ritchie games, and I know, you know, he knows what he's doing. Just my initial reaction was, you know, it's more pinball, and that made me happy. It made me excited to see. The biggest thing they mentioned was the new rule set that Lyman put together, and I'm really interested in seeing what that means.
Yeah, I mean, think of the last time that we had Steve Ritchie and Lyman together. We got Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. Fantastic game.
Yep, I own one. I love it. And you can see some elements of Spider-Man in here with the way the left and right ramps are those kind of quick return ramps when it loops back. And there's even kind of the top skill shot looks similar. It's Spider-Man-esque in the layout, but you've got the three bank center thing removed. You still have the three drop targets there, but you can also shoot to the left of it. So if I had to guess of the way this thing's going to feel, it's probably pretty similar to Spider-Man, but it's going to have less stopping of the ball.
Yeah, it's also got missing a flipper. It's only got the two flippers, which right. is unusual for a Ritchie game.
Right, so there's obviously plenty of differences. They're going to play differently from one another, but you can kind of see he probably kept some of his favorite parts from Spider-Man and then thought of ways to, as he always does, speed the game up. But, you know, if you're an AC/DC fan, I think it looks real nice. The biggest piece of art on the playfield is hand-drawn, and I've already heard lots of people praising that.
It's very noticeable. The first thing you see is a giant face staring at you. And at first, I didn't know what to think about it, but it's grown on me.
Well, let's be honest. When you're dealing with these bands today and you deal with their licensing companies, if you request photos, they're almost always going to give you recent shots. So I think getting the hand-drawn image of them in their younger years is a little bit better than the today's AC/DC.
65-year-old Angus.
Yeah, so it looks good, though. Again, like you, I'm not the biggest fan of the band. They don't annoy me or anything, but, I mean, I could think of other bands that might excite me more from a theme standpoint.
Yeah.
But as far as usage of the theme, they've done some cool stuff. I like the jukebox look in the background on the back box.
Yeah, you can actually select the song you want to hear while you're playing.
Yeah, really cool.
They got, 12 songs, I think? 12 full tracks in it?
Yes, it's 12 full songs. So.
And some sort of new... enhanced sound system in it too, so that could be really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about that, and that's probably something that they'll keep going forward. But definitely a good mix of kind of modern elements and classic with the just two flippers at the bottom. So should be pretty cool to see what they do up. But now this game, as we were also talking about, has a pretty big difference between the LE and Pro.
Yes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about what the LE brings?
Just starting with there's going to be four editions, two LEs, and then the premium that's kind of between the Pro version and the LE version. The LE's got your shaker motor, your mirrored back glass, a 12-inch subwoofer. I've only played one game that used a 12-inch subwoofer, one that Korn built at Expo, and it was awesome. So it was a Bride of Pinbot, and it was really cool.
Yeah, that machine's famous.
So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, the numbered plaques and autographs and kind of the normal stuff there. It's supposed to have different cabinet artwork, which is going to be really cool. I actually like the cabinet artwork on just the Pro model quite a bit. It looks like a beat-up old gig box. So I guess as it gets banged up moving it from place to place over the years, it'll look even more authentic. And then it's got, you know, with the premium edition, all the stuff that has with the powder coated legs and hinges and whatnot, LED lamps. It's going to have a unique back glass translight. One of the coolest things is, well, there's a second play field. There's a lower play field. Yep. Angus's face will be sunken into the game. And they haven't shown a completed version of it, but they've shown the Whitewood. And so there's two more flippers in there. I know I said earlier there's only two flippers. But that looks actually pretty cool, too. Just like a little face down there with targets on it.
Yeah, and it's a big enough difference that if you're going to pay that extra money for the LE, that you're really getting something significant. I mean, on the Tron model, you had it... If you put the two side by side, the LE model is obviously the more attractive one. But this one is... It provides so much more as far as playing goes. So.
Yeah, two different games almost. And sort of, Transformers did the same thing with the two upper play fields.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
We're very different. One of the things that really caught my eye, again, was the 3D train. In the pro version, there's just a piece of plastic with a picture of a train on it in the upper left corner. Uh-huh. There's actual molded 3D train on the Whitewood that looks really, really cool. And it's huge. It looks like, I don't know, maybe 8 inches long. It just looked really cool, like a really cool toy. And then the bell, there's like a huge bell right in the middle of the game. That's mm-hmm. going to have a motor on it and a magnet. So the bell will start swinging with a Newton ball attached to it. So a little bit of Dark Knight's crane, I guess, but with a swinging bell. I don't know if it'll move out of the way enough to shoot underneath it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how that plays. But sounds like a cool toy.
Yeah. They made the bell look all rusty, and it looks like they took their time mm-hmm. you know, doing the molded items in the game.
Yeah, I can't wait for a little bit more interviews to come out post-release where they talk about some of the development a bit more. But it's kind of crazy when you name the three lead people on this. You've got Richie Design, Lyman for Rules, and Yaosi for Art.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we're back in 1990. It's great.
And that's a good thing, yeah.
Yep.
So we'll see. I'm excited to play one. We didn't even mention like the shooting cannon and the plunging dynamite and whatnot. So there's a lot going on. Yep. I don't think it'll disappoint.
Yeah, I hope not. I think a lot of people were pretty excited about this one. They're within, you know, the pinball community, it seems there's a lot of AC/DC fans. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and... You know, most games that Stern makes go overseas, and AC/DC is huge in mm-hmm. Europe and whatnot. So, you know, worldwide it makes sense as a theme, even if America's not the premier place for AC/DC.
Yeah. And the Australians that pay all that money to bring the machines down.
Yeah, there you go.
There's your band.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, happy to see it. And I think it looks like it turned out real nice.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what's coming next. We talked a little bit about rumors for the next project. As we're wont to do, and as pinball collectors, they've been teasing the Avengers thing forever. There's been pictures of the Avengers up in their office, but then this week they threw a picture up on their Facebook of the word zombies. So it could be just a red herring. They like to mess with us, but I guess you never know.
What if they're doing the Marvel zombies storyline?
Yeah, that's pretty obscure for the general public, but that would be a pretty cool game.
Yeah. I mean, it happened in the comic books, but yeah, I don't think they'd go that direction. It could be, you know, given the fact that they've got multiple big-name designers, they could be kind of teasing one project that's further out, mm-hmm. and the Avengers could be the next one, because that movie's coming this year, and obviously they've kind of learned if they don't make the theatrical release, they try and time it with the DVD. But, I mean, let's be honest. I think if they're doing Avengers, they're going to want to have that out when the movie hits. So
yeah, the timing on Avatar felt really off.
Yeah, so that one was a DVD.
Yeah, that was for the DVD. But even then, the DVD was just bare bones, and it got reissued this past holiday season.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they come up with. I'm sure it'll be something exciting.
Yeah, and if anybody has predictions, feel free to chime in and let us know what you think it's going to be. I always like to hear people's theories and kind of what rumors they've scraped up from various website mm-hmm. Tidbits and forum posts and Facebook teases or what have you. So,
I think it seems like the people in the know are pretty good about staying somewhat tight-lipped.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd still kind of like to see them do the Muppets.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Muppets guy, but I've been playing the Muppets DLC on Little Big Planet. Uh-huh. And it kind of got me thinking, you know, the Muppets or the Pigs in Space and, you know, the Red Curtain and the Muppet Show type stuff. It could be really cool, too.
because for a little while they were kind of teasing that and asking, what's your favorite Muppet? And, you know, but again, sometimes, you know, the guys at Stern just make small talk and we run with it and use it as evidence of what's coming next. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would like to see that. As far as some of the past things they've shown, that one would be one I'd really, really like to see what they could do.
But any pinball's good pinball, so.
Sure.
I'll take it. Unless it's zombies. Oh, I'm sorry.
As I say, unless it's South Park, but I'm just kidding. We'll let it go.
No more giant gobble holes, please. Speaking of zombies, the Ben Heck and John Papaduke project, what do they call it? Zombie Town or something? I don't even know what
it is. Zombie Adventureland.
Zombie Adventureland. There you go.
Yeah.
They've been really moving forward with that. They put up a video about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, of them actually building the Whitewood. Ben Heck and John Papaduke put up a live stream on Ben Heck's Ustream channel.
Yep.
And I watched a little bit of it when I was there, and they were cutting plastics. He had a machine that cut out all the plastics onto one sheet. And he was kind of messing with that, but I didn't have a lot of chance to watch it. If you go to Ben Heck's Ustream channel, which Jeff will put a link up on the on our site, you can watch some footage that he recorded during that time. A couple features that they mention is hand-drawn artwork, multi-level flipper action, so multiple playfields, an LCD score display, neon ball guides, LED lighting, 5-speaker sound, zombies. They offer that as a feature. And Mr. Papaduke's signature electromagnetic accoutrements and mechanical wizardry. Yep. So lots of ramps and magnets.
Yeah, it sounds. I'm pretty excited to see how this thing shapes up. I mean, you've got one of the great artists with John Papaduke. I mean, really. When it comes down to it, what he does in pinball is art. I mean, you look at his games, and some people don't like how they play, but nobody could ever deny that he's put together something that always just looks amazing. The ball does cool stuff in his games. There's always something unique. I mean, it's never a game that's like, oh, that's a lot like game A or a lot like game B. They're pretty unique every time he rolls something out, so really excited.
He brings the magic back to the game.
Yeah,
it's true. I'm a big fan of his work, and I think with all of his games, it's taken... I have to play him for a bit to understand what he's going for, and then I can't stop playing him. You know, Theater of Magic, Circus Voltaire, World Cup Soccer. I mean, even with that, he took a theme I could care less about and, you know, really made it something memorable.
Speaking of World Cup Soccer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had one, and I sold it to a friend. I wouldn't have sold it, but, you know, my friend promised, obviously, that I could drop by and play it, whatever. If it had just been to someone that was, you know, going to buy it and I had to ship it away, I probably would have held on to it. But that's a really good game. I think that's about one of the best bang for buck machines available in all of pinball.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he's doing. I mean, the whole project is just, you know, two guys kind of coming together, putting their heads together, and leveraging their talents and making something cool.
Mm-hmm. And pre-orders will be available soon, so we'll see what he does. His last game, or current game, is Magic Girl. And those are going for, what, like $15,000 or something?
It's in that range. I know it's... I'd have to double-check, but it's up there.
Yeah, they were custom games, and, you know, it's definitely something unique, and I'm not saying it's not worth what you're paying. But it's something that hopefully whoever picks them up will be willing to share and take to the conventions so the rest of us can check them out. Because it sounds really, really neat.
Yep.
So on that note, another thing I just wanted to mention in news was that Pinball FX2, we've mentioned it several times, I'm sure. I'm a big fan of it on the Xbox. Was actually the best-selling Xbox Live game of 2011. So that tells me there's either a lot of pinball guys getting into video games, or more realistically, there's a lot of video game players that are still interested in pinball and are wanting to play it at home.
Yeah, it's a good sign. Seeing and there were some amazing games released on Xbox Live Arcade this year. I mean, to think that a pinball platform could outsell stuff like the, you know, the likes of Bastion, which was a really big game. Mm-hmm. It's impressive, and it's funny because I heard someone comment, and I can't remember the podcast. It might have been the Gagcast, for those video game players out there that know what I'm talking about, but they were kind of making fun of Marvel video games, and they said, you know what, pretty much it's, if it's a Marvel game, it stinks. And well, unless it's in pinball form, those are always good. And yep. You know, referring to the pinball effects. So, and it's true, they're fun to play, and they've done a good job. So glad to see they're selling.
Yeah, they took a dead genre and, you know, took it to number one. When's the last time you played a great virtual pinball game? You know, PlayStation 2 generation, there really wasn't anything. Sonic Spinball comes to mind, or
yeah. It's never been anything that's been more than a real passing fad, but this seems like it's here to stay. I mean, they've been doing the pinball effects for a while now. So.
Yeah, about a year and a half, you know, just writing that one thing, and they keep delivering new content. In fact, just today they posted on their Twitter feed about the new Marvel table. There's going to be a lot of smashing and green. That tells me they got a Hulk table in the works.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Which could be cool.
So. Yeah. Great. Kind of the final bit of news, unless you had anything else, Don, was announced, you know, for those that may not receive the Pin Game Journal's email blast, he mentioned that the calendar is coming for 2012. It's just a little late, so we'll maybe be seeing that here in February. I don't think it would be any later than early March, unless there's any hiccups in the production process, but it sounds like he was getting close. There's just so much going on his end that it wasn't able to go out yet. But hey, there might be something pinball podcast related in this next one, right?
Yeah, wink, wink. Yeah, Jim said he's hard at work at it, so.
So, that's great.
It'll be worth the wait.
It always is. It's always a nice little calendar. I keep it up in my cubicle at work.
Mm-hmm. Going hand in hand with that, that's our source for pinball shows, and without it, I don't know of any pinball shows in January. I looked online, I couldn't find anything. I don't think Jeff could either.
I didn't find anything, but if anybody knows of something, and it's not like tomorrow from the day that you're hearing this, go ahead and share it on the Facebook page or something, and we'll put it on our site and work it back into the show notes, because we don't want to miss anybody's events that they've got out there. And also, when we talk about these events, usually we mention the pinball shows, the expos and such, but if you have like a tournament going on and it's more than just you and, you know, three or four buddies drinking a six pack of beer, let us know. We'd be happy. Like, I know a lot of times arcades open their doors and for a few nights they'll put their games on tournament mode, or they'll even set up some leaderboards and such. Definitely let us know if you know about anything going on locally, and we'll talk about it.
Yep.
Cool. On to the next thing, right?
Yes, sir. Our featured machine?
Yes. Now, we have been taking suggestions on this. We got several good ones. One of the things I thought we'd run with on this one is Maverick, seeing how it got the most votes. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty familiar with this game. I've played it quite a bit. Don, it's not one you've had a chance to get your hands on, is it?
No, I enjoyed the film, but I've never seen the game on location or anywhere to play it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it is based on the film, Maverick. If you guys remember, it's kind of a gambling theme. And the game itself is actually quite a bit of fun. There are a few things on it that, you know, obviously aren't perfect, and pretty much no machine is, but it's got kind of a toy in the upper left hand that's a big giant steamboat, and when you shoot it into it, the ball kind of rolls up the paddles in the back and it delivers it to a wire ramp, and it's a cool toy. The only thing is it slows play down a lot when it hits that. It never gets to the point where you avoid the shot, but if I'm thinking of something to kind of as an analogy, it's similar, I guess, to, you know, the carnival theme games, like, say, like Hurricane and such, like Cyclone, Hurricane, and where the ball kind of gets into the Ferris wheel. But it's kind of similar to that in its idea, but it's the steamship from the film. It's a really fun playing game. It's got the extra large DMD screen on it as well.
Oh, I love those.
So, yeah, pretty cool looking when you look at that. It's a three flipper game. So you've got the two at the bottom and then the extra flipper above. And Lyman Sheets did the rules on it. And like I said, it you can tell it does some smart stuff. And it, you know, it was the it is a Data East game. I think, you know, the one on location around me still gets played quite a bit. And I think the reason for that is when you kind of walk up to it, first the DMD is really attractive. I think people still look at it like, oh yeah, hey, I remember that movie. That was a funny movie. But when you step up to it and look at it, it just kind of looks cool. The ramps, they twist a lot in the upper play field. And I don't know, I think it's one of those games that people don't necessarily run across too often, but when they get in front of it and start playing it, next thing you know, they've spent $3 or $4 on it and they've had a good time. The skill shot is an also one of the kind where it's got three different holes. You pull it back and, you know, try and hit the 1, 2, or 3. I've always liked those where the skill shot relies on how hard you plunge the ball rather than trying to move the light in the you know, lanes or whatever, mm-hmm. But I've always liked that, where it's how hard you plunge, and it's got that as well, so.
It's more skill-based?
Yes, it's an actual skill shot, rather than a reflex, so. I think the cabinet looks nice. It's, you know, kind of a, there's nothing too special about it, but I've actually never seen one with the topper, but it's kind of got the, you know, poker theme all about. The topper shows gosh, I'd have to look, but I think it shows a royal flush on it. But it's a good machine. Again, it's pretty underrated. If you were to buy one, this is one of those games that, my goodness, it fluctuates so much in price. You rarely see them come up for sale. So mm-hmm. When they do, you range from the people who are like, oh, yeah, it's a budget title, and they don't sell it for a lot. But then on the other hand, you get people who are saying, oh man, that's a rare one that never comes up. So then they'll bid it up on eBay.
What price range are you talking? Like 1,000 to 1,500 or higher?
You know, the 1,000 to 1,500 is kind of the typical range. Obviously, condition depends on, especially on the DMD, since those larger DMDs scare people mm-hmm. a little bit. But, you know, I've seen it go usually around the 1,100 to 1,200 range, so it's kind of the lower end of that. But again, like I said, every once in a while it can get caught up in a bidding frenzy because it's just not that common that you see them go for sale. I think the highest I saw one go was about $1,800, and again, it's not too often that you see them. So if you liked the movie, it's the theme's great for it. The only thing is, I wish that riverboat toy just could get the ball back and play a little bit quicker.
So is the riverboat a lock, or is it just part of the game?
No, you shoot, it's kind of like a little left loop. You hit it, it falls into the paddles, and it brings it up. I'm trying to actually remember if it does lock, if it simply drops it back into play at this point.
If you're waiting on it, it's probably, I would think it's coming back into play. Looking at the pictures on the Internet Pinball Database, yeah, it looks like it just drops it out of the top.
Yeah, I think that's what it does. It just drops it. I was just trying to remember if there were any special moments when it might hold it, but I'm pretty sure that it just always drops it onto the, drops it right back into play. So yeah, it's a good suggestion for one of those games, you know, when people are saying, hey, I want something unique, that maybe they're getting a little bit bored with their collection, or they feel like they've owned everything. It's not many people that mention that they have a Maverick in their pin lineup, so mm-hmm. Worth owning, I would say. I probably wouldn't pay on the high end. I wouldn't go up into that 1,500-1,600 range, but if I could find one for 1,200 or so, I'd probably give it a shot.
Right on. So if you see it on location, drop a couple quarters in it and
yep.
Let us know what you think. It it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, if you're in Utah, which is not all that likely, but people pass through on business all the time. Nickel Mania, the location we talked about in the first show, they have one on location. So
cool. And those oversized DMDs are not to be understated. They are really, really neat.
They are. They're cool. They are really cool. There's a Baywatch also on location nearby, and you know, it still looks real nice with that big DMD.
Yeah, that's, for me, that's the highlight of Frankenstein. That's a game I never dug, but I love that huge DMD.
Yeah.
And in Baywatch, I enjoy that game quite a bit, too.
So.
Check it out.
Definitely.
All right, next up we've got our virtual table. Zen Pinball was released right after our last show on the 3DS. So I know our audience is limited here, but it's just such a cool little game. I wanted to bring it up. Have you tried it out yet, Jeff?
Mine is actually on its way to me right now. So
okay.
But I have seen that it's been reviewed favorably. People are liking it. So yeah, mine's on its way. It should be here. I was hoping it would get here before the show, but I think it'll be here tomorrow.
Cool. It features four tables. I think it's $6.99. You can download it in the 3DS store. Features four tables from the PS3 version. El Dorado, which is kind of like Indiana Jones. Shaman. Excalibur. And Earth Defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Oh, by the way, for people confused, since it is a downloadable title, I'm waiting on a code to download it from the publisher. So yeah. If that makes sense for people. I was actually getting a review copy of it. So
cool.
But yeah, that sounds right to me. The Earth Defense, I think, was right.
Yeah. Earth Defense actually felt a lot different on this than it did on the Xbox. The shots just felt nicer. And it's kind of cool. The top screen, of course, being in 3D, is your pinball table. And the bottom screen is your DMD. So, you know, you can kind of glance at your score right there. Yeah. It's not like looking. It's not like lifting your head up when you're playing a game or on a big TV.
Sure. And the DMD, I mean, on most digital tables, it's always been a little bit awkward where it's been placed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, if you can't put it over the, you know, top of the screen, obviously, because then you're losing real estate. So they've always kind of shifted to the side, or, you know, sometimes they have it disappear and reappear. I don't know, but definitely the 3DS is a nice way of having it where you can just slap it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And the 3D is implemented really well. I tried it in both, you know, 3D and 2D settings. And the 2D settings, it all kind of, I mean, it looks all right, but it's all kind of a one pane. But in 3D, it really does add some depth. The habit trails kind of pop out. The physics are still there. I guess like the upper play field, I'm thinking of Shaman in particular. There's an upper play field, kind of like, what is it, Grand Lizard? Where it's got like the targets with the two flippers. There's like a no good gophers ramp that drops down. You get up to the upper play field. And the upper play field really is sitting above the other play field. What they're doing with the 3D on the 3DS is actually really impressive. And you don't have to wear glasses or anything. I know some of you guys aren't video game guys. But it's just, it displays two images and the way your eyes read it. It's 3D without the glasses. It's really cool. Yep.
And it's a really strong depth of, it's almost like looking into something. But I guess another thing worth mentioning is, I believe it's two players, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a hot seat.
Okay.
And it's got online leaderboards. And you rake up, I think it's called a family score. And it's kind of like a wizard score from Pinball FX, where you know your score goes up based on how good you do on all of the games combined. So it's got some cool features. It's got operator menus and all that stuff. So the same stuff you'd expect from the big boy versions. But it's really pretty professional. There's also supposed to be DLC for it. I don't know when that's coming. But I don't know of any other GB or 3DS games that have DLC yet.
Yeah, that's just kind of a new thing they've been introducing to the platform, as DLC as a concept. But yeah, I was really hoping that review code was going to come through my inbox. I think it'll be tomorrow. I almost cracked and bought it a few days ago just because I wanted it, but they did say that they were going to be getting some more codes and sending them out, so I'll wait, but it looks good. I do think it looks really good.
Well, maybe if your impressions are any different than mine, we can talk about it on the next show, too.
For sure.
All right. As far as our location report, we want to talk a little bit about Ground Control, probably one of the most famous arcades in the country. Ground Control is up in Portland, and they have, I guess, about 100 arcade games and 20 or 30 pins.
Yeah, it is quite the famous destination for definitely arcade people, but pinball people are starting to realize that the lineup there is worth going out of your way to visit as well.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a liquor license, so you can get beer and wine during your event. You know, while you're there playing, you can drink a beer. I guess every game has one of those cup holders on it. What are they called? The pin gulp or whatever?
Yeah, pin gulps.
Yeah, which are... I've never seen one in real life. They look pretty cool, though.
I've got a couple. I just haven't put them on yet. I definitely on my short list of things to do once I can walk again. Yeah. But I have a couple, and, you know, I have a lot of events here, parties and stuff, and the pinball machines are obviously really heavily played, and people are always looking for a place to set the drink down, and it usually ends up on the pinball machine next to them, which always makes my heart skip a beat when I see that, so, yeah, it's nice having those.
At my events, I'm always running around with coasters, you know, slide them under everybody's drinks. But yeah, let me run through some of the games they have. They got a lot of the A-list games. Oops, I pulled up the arcade games. They've got Addams Family, Attack from Mars, Funhouse, Lord of the Rings, The Shadow, Simpsons Pinball Party, Shrek, Spider-Man, Terminator 2, Arabian Nights, Theater of Magic, Twilight Zone, just to name a few. They've got a lot of the big name games here. I would say Roadshow and Doctor Who would probably be the more obscure ones.
Yeah, and it's definitely a good lineup, especially, you know, Attack from Mars isn't one you find on location too often anymore. Mm-hmm. Those generally have all ended up in private collections. But a few things about Ground Control is you can actually rent the place and use it for, like, special events and parties. That's pretty cool to kind of have the place to yourself. They do have a full-service bar if you're looking for a place to go out and kind of party with the friends for the night. They do have a, you know, full-service bar there. Their website, you know, they do some fun stuff on that. So we'll link to all that stuff, and they have a blog and such that you can check out. But overall, it's more than just basically sticking a bunch of games out on location and having you, you know, come in and hope they work when you play them. They take really good care of the machines, and they've kind of created a community as well through their blogs and stuff like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm always jealous of the scene that's going on up in Portland. There's so many pinball machines and places to play up there.
But, yeah, it's really growing. So, they also got a lot of events, like Rock Band Night. They've got DJs a couple times a week, and they've got Free Play Thursdays every month. Once a month, there's just like a $5 cover, and then it's free games all day. It's really cool. You don't see arcades kind of taking that type of community initiative, which is really fun. I'm most familiar with it because I wear their t-shirts. They have some of the coolest custom t-shirts in pinball. They have the Pin Brawl is held at their arcade, the Portland Pin Brawl.
Yeah, and the shirt's awesome.
The shirts are awesome. The last one, they had Ted from Roadshow punching out Rudy from Funhouse. Mm-hmm.
Just and then really kind fun. Of a Rock'em Sock'em Robot spin on it. So,
and another one, I don't see it on their website anymore, but another one I've got is like the Black Knight trying to steal the Bride of Pinbot from Pinbot, which is pretty cool. So, very cool. Love to support a place like that, and if you're in the area, definitely check them out.
Yep. So, again, we'll link to that. And, yeah, you can actually order those shirts online. I like the one that shows Captain Fantastic getting punched out by the wizard.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. So check it out. We'll link to it in the post.
Yes.
On our site. And just a couple of little miscellaneous things. A lot of you wrote in with suggestions. I talked about a broken Roadshow and a broken World Cup Soccer. Some, like, phantom issues. And Mike S. and Rob both wrote in with some suggestions. So my back was finally in order. The last couple of weeks I've been working on it. Talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. But on the World Cup Soccer, the sound went out. I actually just reseated the sound ROMs. That got the sound going again. So if anybody has a similar issue, just take a minute. Use the correct tool to reseat your ROM chips. It's like a little puller. I think they're like $6.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a weird pair of tweezers, but use the right the right tool, because you'll bend the heck out of the pins if you don't. So that got the sound going, but my weird phantom issue with the center skill shot, the center opto on my skill shot, whenever the play field's down, it won't work. When I raise the play field, it does work. It's not a loose wire because, you know, you can just touch it to a piece of metal and it'll stop working. So what I did is I kind of rigged it. I wrapped electrical tape around the hooks that hold the play field to the cabinet, and that worked. So now the game works great, no errors. And I know it's not a permanent fix, and I would love to get a permanent fix, but no one but me knows. Well, and all of you know.
That's great, though.
Yeah, so it just kind of hit me one day that you give that a shot. And then on the road show, I had a guy, David, he and his son Luke came over, and he's an engineer here locally that I just met, and he seems like a real nice guy. He brought an oscilloscope over, went through the whole thing, chased the wires, all the connections. We came up with nothing. And then when Pin Butch came over and he wanted to take a look at it, he figured out that it was the opto board, but that the optos were too strong. They were actually not bending light, but they were shining past the interrupters
and the flippers. Wow.
Yeah, because he would push it in with his hand and the buzzing would stop.
Huh.
So we took a heat gun to the interrupter. We tried bending it. It got a little better, but not quite there. So I ordered new interrupters, and they came, but they're white. They're white plastic, and I guess that's not kosher. Like, the little interrupter parts were colored black with a Sharpie. I don't know what's up with the white, but sure enough, the new interrupter didn't work either. So my dad took his plastic welder and built up the fins on the interrupter, and that worked out really good.
Wow, first time I ever heard about the optos being too strong. It's always the other direction.
Right. So once the interrupters were built up, then it stopped the buzzing. I had to cut a little piece of it off because in Roadshow, when you get to the, there's a lock and you can buy a souvenir. Basically, you can spend some of your points to buy something.
Yeah.
And when I hit the right flipper, it wouldn't activate. So for some reason, it was using the other opto to make that selection of, yes, I want to purchase it. So when I cut a little piece of plastic off from what my dad had welded on, that worked as well. So finally have 100% working Roadshow, which is
excellent.
Thrilling. Yeah, finally. They were not the original opto boards. They are proprietary. I guess I won't say who they're from. But both opto boards are, you know, from the same manufacturer. And the left one's never had any problems, so I don't know. It's kind of unusual that it's working too well, but hopefully I'll be able to find another game I can use it in that doesn't act up.
Yeah, definitely glad that one finally got figured out, because isn't that the one that we brought up on the first show?
Yeah, I've had people email us a couple times since then.
Always nice to chase those down.
Yeah, thank you.
Next to getting, like, a big score or a game that you've always, next to picking up a game you've always wanted, fixing a nagging issue that's been bothering you for a long time is probably the best feeling in pinball.
Definitely. When you turn that game on and it doesn't go dong, 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 that is a very good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. So, glad that finally got fixed up.
Yeah, amen to that. For a product review, did you want to talk about, or did you want us to talk about the keyless locks? Amusement cells? Okay.
Yeah, I love those things, so... well, go ahead and describe what they are, and then we'll...
If you're a collector, you've either got a bowl of keys sitting around your pins, or you've got just a bunch of keys hanging off your coin doors. So what Mad Amusements does is they sell a lock replacement that's actually just a turn key. Not even a key, just a turn switch. So almost like a starter switch or something, an on-off switch that locks or unlocks the coin door. It's got a very satisfying click to lock it or to unlock it. You don't have the key dangling there. They even cut a hole in it so you can still put your key fob on the little handle. And they're cheaper. I had them up here. I think they're $225. Let me pull them back up. So you have them on your games as well?
Yeah. In fact, when I shop a game out, the very last step I do is I take out the old lock and put in the keyless lock. I love them. Then I just take that and the old lock and the key and just stick it in the coin box, and it's so much better. Because I used to key them all, and I found after a couple of parties when the ball gets stuck and you're fumbling with the keys, it's just so much easier to not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually just lock the room to my pinball machines to kind of keep my. I have a 2.5-year-old kid, and I can keep him out by just locking the door itself rather than having to have all the individual machines locked. So
very nice. Of course, for operators, this wouldn't be practical, but no. For collectors, it's almost a must-have. The only time I could think of when it was inconvenient was similar to what you were saying. We had a party, and there were 2-3-year-olds running around opening the doors, and that was a little frustrating. But on Mad Amusements, they're $275. They come in two different sizes, and a regular single-bit key is $250. They don't. Oh, the double-bitted keys they actually got on sale right now for $1.60, but those usually run about $4. I know at the time when I bought these keyless locks, I bought them because they were cheaper, and I just wanted to give them a shot. But they're really cool. $275 is a knockout price for. They feel very, very good quality.
Yeah, they are solid material. Yeah. I use them on all my arcade machines as well. I mean, I just think they're great. One of those products that doesn't do anything to the gameplay, but it's just kind of something that, for me, a game's not shopped out until I've changed those locks to those keyless locks. So.
Yep. So I'd be more than happy to sponsor a contest for this month, giving out two of those keyless locks. We didn't actually talk about it. So, do you have any contest ideas, Jeff?
Let's take a look here. See if something fits in with the theme of this show. We talked a little bit about rumors on the next Stern machine, and I know if we open that up to everybody's guesses, we're going to get a flood of Avengers and zombie guesses. But how about we get people to say what they think the next game is going to be, the game after those two rumors. So something we have no basis on. Take a look at movie release calendars, whatever you need to do to come up with an educated guess. And if you don't have one, just say what you want them to make. But that'll do it for me. And we can pick two people to send those locks to.
Yeah, and I've been racking my brain trying to come up with an original theme that Jersey Jack's going to release. His next game is said will be an original theme that Dennis and Greg are working on. So we'll throw that hat in the ring, too. If you've got an idea on what the original theme will be, throw that out as well. When I was playing the Rome game today on Pinball FX, I was like, man, I can't think of any other Rome games, like Roman soldiers and Caesar and all that.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, in an interview, it's been a while, just after Steve Ritchie got back to Stern, he did mention there was a possibility that after AC/DC that he would be doing an unlicensed original theme. So
really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He didn't say if it was for sure or not, but he said it was a good possibility. So that could be Steve's next project. And if that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if it had something to do with motorcycles.
Yeah, I was just thinking a Blackwater 100 type of game.
So
cool.
But yeah, I think that's easy enough for a contest, and it's always fun speculating on that. So I love hearing what people have, and like I said, if you don't have a good guess, go ahead and say what you want them to do. My default answer for the machine that we never got that I always wanted was Ghostbusters. So
whenever I mentioned that to somebody the other day, was talking about Ghostbusters, that there was never a machine, and he was shocked. He's not a pinball guy, but he was totally shocked that there's a Johnny Mnemonic game and not a Ghostbusters game.
Yeah, as big as Ghostbusters were, I mean, cartoons, toys, movies, and it never happened.
Just the Can't wrong time.
Yeah. I guess. It was probably having a lot to do with the actors and licensing their likenesses. I don't know. I'm sure someone had to have tried, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
So.
Oh, well.
But anyway, yeah, that'll be our contest, and the rewards will be the keyless locks, and warning you guys, though, if you win it and you give them a try, it's going to be tough for you not to convert all your machines afterwards. So
yeah, Mad Amusement sales will go through the roof. Go ahead and email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com or leave a message on the Facebook group. I think it's the Pinball Podcast on Facebook.
Yep.
I think it's the Pinball Podcast on Twitter as well.
Yeah, there is a little bit of confusion in when it has the and when it doesn't, but there's nobody else that's kind of really competing with us on that. You'll find us if you search around. We're not too hard to find.
Yeah. So. And I want to also congratulate Mark Folsom. He is the winner of our Episode 3 contest with the colored post sleeves.
Yep, and we'll be sending those out to Mark. So
we already contacted him, and he was pretty excited. So thank you very Mark. Thank you very Mark. Thank you very much, Mark, for listening and giving us your suggestion.
Definitely. So, Don, you have anything else? Or
no, I think we're good.
Turn around him. All right. So, again, people, Don just gave the contacts where you can reach us. If you've got any suggestions or anything that doesn't exactly fit within what we've asked for, we still want to hear it. Any feedback, any input, we greatly appreciate it, and we will... we'll talk about it on the show. And those feedback suggestions that we mentioned again in the show, we'll probably be working those in by next episode. So we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
But, and thanks everybody for listening. It's always fun doing this. Sorry it's a little late this month. It's my fault. I had to go get that ankle fixed.
But, you got a good excuse.
Yeah. And right now I got to go put it up.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. You've been...